Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
I think I need all those mms today since I'm a little bit more raspy than I normally am. You're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're listening to this podcast long after the broadcast is over, welcome to the show. And tonight we are going to be chatting about one of my favorite topics, which is sex and sensuality and healing. And I've got my favorite gal pal, soul sister on the show, who you may know, and she's an amazing intuitive. She's also been on the show many, 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 many times. And she's got Sensuous Goddess series, but she's going to be chatting because she's got an amazing 5-week series coming up about sex and sensuality and healing intensive that is going to be starting on May 29th. So I'm very excited to have the lovely, the sexy, the wonderful Beljeet Riot on the show. Welcome, darling.
Hello, how are you?
Other than being a little raspier than normal tonight, other than that, I am wonderful, and I know we're just having a little bit of technical challenge in terms of making sure Beljeet can hear herself on air.
I'm like, I can't hear myself. Nope, but that's okay. I guess I'm not meant to have headphones.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to speak like this.
Nope, that sounds, well, your voice is absolutely amazing and wonderful, so we are very, very glad to have you. So in our pre-show chat, let's just start with what is the difference between sex and sensuality and just to how that tends to affect us on a global scale when we're not in balance.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people get confused with regards to sex and sensuality. And when I help, when I assist women and men to really connect to their own sensuality, sensuality to me is about senses, like really smelling, feeling, and knowing, getting in tune with your intuition.
So being right? really present.
Yeah.
Present.
You can be
present
in
your own body.
Too. I own my body. That's right. Yeah, you do. You become grounded in your body and you're very present with yourself. So sensuality is more about, it's not just about being sexy. And that's what a lot of people have disconnected the meaning of sensuality. When I talk about sensuality, it's like really owning you, being present with yourself and really connected to your truth and aligning to that truth, following your purpose. And just the result of that, you know, when you look at a woman or you see a guy and he's so in that presence, there's something radiant that they're giving off that makes them so juicy and sexy, and you're just like, wow, they're like, what is that? Whereas if you look at someone who's disconnected, you know, it doesn't matter how you know, sexy they try to dress, you know, it may be more superficial than it is connected, but you could tell the light's just very dull, you know. And sex is more of, I like to think of it as a byproduct, as, you know, a practice, a way of expressing yourself as a result of being sensual. And you can practice sex in a very high vibrational way or the low vibrational way. So when you talk about society, I mean, you and I were just talking about this, like there's the porn industry, you know, and there's many people that I've, you know, clients in particular who have felt disconnected because all they've learned about sex has been directly from porn. And then, you know, when you think about school, you're not really taught how to create boundaries and how to connect. You're just shown these scientific grams of this is a penis, this is a vagina, this is how you put on a condom, and this is
how you don't have babies.
Yeah, exactly. And don't have babies, right? And many other things that society can put on. So it leaves, you know, young adults confused. So by the time when they start engaging and they're, you know, discovering their own sexuality and stuff, all they've got is porn and other things. So if you're watching certain porn, you'll notice that it can be very disconnected. And like when you're with someone, they'll even start acting like they're in a porn video. And there's this disconnection of really tapping into your senses. And when you're operating on that level, it can be low vibrational, where there's no, I call it no co-creation. And so it leaves you either feeling, you know, especially for women, it can leave them feeling very drained, because they haven't felt a connection with the guy and they feel used. And it can be vice versa with men as well. And it becomes a little, I call it vampiric, you know, where they just lose their energy and they're not learning how to co-create with that energy and how sex, the practice of sex, how connected it is to your own true nature, your spiritual like nature.
And that makes sense, especially when you're trying to be something. And if I love, I always think of the word sexy. I mean, our show's called Sexy in Van City. And I think if sexy equals confidence, I always have. But I think sometimes when we're exploring and trying to figure out what is sexy, we fall under certain stereotypes. Sometimes we see images in magazines. Interesting, with all the studies and everything about people feeling disconnected with social media, etc. A lot of the things that we have on the internet, just in general, the tools of communication, etc., have developed because of the porn industry. So we do have some things to thank and not to thank. So we've got the good and the bad. And one of the bad that we were talking about as well is just people's disconnect, like how they perceive themselves, like this is how sex is supposed to be, but as well, this is what we're supposed to look like, and the disconnect, the dissatisfaction. So whether or not that's resulting in more plastic surgery in regards to labiaplasty, breast implants, butt implants, cheek implants.
Well, yeah, and when guys especially, like I remember just, you know, when I was taking a tantra, just Tibetan tantra, and we were just talking about how, you know, especially for men, if they've been looking at magazines and porn, it's a subliminal programming too. There's subliminal messages that go through media. There's subliminal messages that go through porn. So automatically, if a guy is so used to watching porn and he always sees a blonde girl with plastic, you know, with plastic surgery, so implants, you know, let's just say butt implants and everything, he's automatically going to be attracted to that wherever he goes. And so he may notice that he keeps, being attracted to that. But once he tries to connect with it, there's no connection, because it's this perception that this is the way to receive pleasure and whatnot. But really, it's just getting off. There's no connection whatsoever.
It's genital friction.
Yes, it's genital friction. Exactly. It's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So, and then for women, there's so much pressure. Because of what they've been shown through media and whatnot. And there's, again, like I said, subliminal messaging that gets put out. And so they believe that they need to get breast implants and, you know, what we were just talking about, labiaplasty, right? Like stuff like that. And, you know, it's fine if you want to get breast implants and whatnot. But, you know, if you're at a certain level where you don't feel confident about yourself, you know, you need to go deeper with why that is, you know. And I find that with any woman or man who really goes within and really connects back to their sensuality, really get in touch to their own truth and their senses, there's something way more powerful. And the result of that is not only just looking really sexy, it's like they radiate something that in all areas of their life, something is born, like something is created. Their business is going well, and their relationships are going well. It reflects in all areas.
Well, I'm going to badly paraphrase Nelson Mandela or Marianne Williamson, but who
one
are
of
we?
Those people?
Well, she wrote it. He made it popular. So
right.
Who are we to be?
Right.
Gorgeous, fabulous, talented, and wonderful. And who are we not to be? Because by letting our own light shine, we inspire others to do the same. So I think in terms of being in touch with that peace, letting that heal, and letting our own light shine, it just lights up and people are attracted to that. They want part of it, which is why the boundary piece that you're teaching in your workshop is so key as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, We got there. We started off, we're dating ourselves, we're embracing ourselves, we're loving ourselves, opening up and starting to share, balancing out with other people, like with their gifts that they're working towards. And then from there, it's like, okay, how do we, as we start to open that up, be able to protect ourselves, but still open ourselves up to receive?
Yeah, boundaries are so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I've noticed just with the tantric community and, you know, it's so funny, like the people who've never really involved in self-healing and you know, self-growth or explored tantra, they're at a state where, you know, they just see sex as sex. And so the way that they're operating is at, you know, a different vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got those that, you know, are in this self-growth and whatnot. But then it can get too much stuck in the etheric, meaning that there's no groundedness.
Okay.
And it's very open, but there's no sense of boundary. So I've met a lot of women who, you know, that say that they're tantric and whatnot, but yet they're, you know, I'm going to be blunt, but the legs are wide open and there's no sense of boundaries. And so they're operating from their wounding versus really operating from being very clear with who they are. So they're operating from their wounding with this mask that they're being spiritual and connected, but really it's this projection of, you know, this mask of being tantric and spiritual, but really there's no groundedness. And once, you know, from on both ends, you know, when you learn how to really ground in your body, again, tapping into your senses, getting to know your intuition really well, you're going to know what's okay, what's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's clear. And that's how you're able to create healthy boundaries through communicating, and just really being mindful of your energy. And that's where there's a lot of heartache and whatnot with men and women when they're not aware of not knowing who they are.
I think that's very true. And in today's society as well, and I'm going to go full circle back to the pornography, I think it's difficult sometimes in terms of the disconnect, etc. Porn addiction's at an all-time high. In terms of addiction, it's one of the top addictions in North America. As well as that, it does play on women's sense of self-esteem, but it also plays on men as well. Viagra is quite a popular thing. And for guys who really don't need it, but because they watch pornography and they think that's what women's expectations are, that, and why should I have sex if I can't last more than 2.5 minutes, which is apparently the male average of what a man should be able to last in terms of actual intercourse. And so that's a lot of pressure as well.
Well, it's sad because the reality is once a man really learns how to connect with himself, he can actually really last an orgasm. And if he learns seminal retention, if he really learns to connect with himself, he can last all night. And that's, but again, that's what media sends the message, and that's what porn sends the message. And I'm not saying all porn, but I'm going to say majority of them. And so automatically there's this disconnect. And so it already creates trauma. When there's a disconnect, it kicks up more wounding because our genitals carry programming.
Very much.
A woman's G-spot carries the, you know, most blocked, you know, energies are stored. The most blocked energies are stored in the G-spot. And for men too, you know, there's going to be stuff stored in their own genitalia as well. And so when you're connecting with each other, or at least, you know, having sex, you're mixing energies.
Yes.
And if you're not mindful and co-creating with an intention, it can come and not literally, but it can.
Well, yes, it can as well.
Operate at a more lower vibrational level. And that's where, I call it ancestral programming and other programming subconsciously for people. For women, if she may automatically want to marry the guy because she's like, oh my God, I just had this wonderful experience, I want to get married. But really, it's her grandmother talking, saying, you need to get married and da-da-da. But there's ancestral programming that is locked in your wounding, and if you don't clear it, and if you're operating with sex on a lower level, mm-hmm. vibrationally, it gets kicked up.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I will. Because this is where it can really confuse people.
Okay.
Especially women, because we're very sensitive down there. And when, and our heart is connected, very connected to our, you know, our, I call it the yoni.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're making love to a man, I mean, it's easier for a man to disconnect having this as their heart and their own penis as two separate functions.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, we're very connected. And if we start to feel this really deep connection with the man, and we're just not mindful of just, you know, just choosing to really connect and co-create something beautiful,
mm-hmm.
it can kick up ancestral programming, meaning that the next day you can be on a high, but then you're also healing at the same time. So I say sex is very healing for a woman and for a man. And so the next day a woman might feel some stuff come up. She might feel sadness after her high. And what that may be, it could be some ancestral programming or some other past programming that was stored in her G-spot because it just got totally penetrated. Mm. So think about all that blocked energy. You know, you're going about day-to-day life. Stuff gets stored. A lot of stuff gets stored in a woman's G-spot. And then all of a sudden she has a powwow. And if she's not mindful how she chooses to release it, like, you know, a lot of women aren't, they don't have this awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just said, wow, I just had this amazing session. And they just go about day to day. But then they'll start to feel attached to the guy and they don't know why. So when a woman becomes aware that her truth is so stored in that yoni, I'd say, like, my yoni is my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yoni, by the way, is vagina, for those of you who do not know what that is. It's Sanskrit.
I was just trying to remember the exact Sanskrit translation, because I know the lingam
for men is the
penis. Yeah. Is actually, I believe it means wand of light, but I cannot remember what yoni actually means, the actual Sanskrit.
Yoni, oh goodness, I'm going to have to Google this again. I'm having a brain fart, but it's like a lotus. But yoni is, it's like, I call it the tunnel of love, or it's the lotus for me. It's like the lotus flower. Yeah.
Which, considering your company is called Lotus Destiny,
hence that, yes. Right? And I call it yoni because it's just such a better word than vagina for me personally.
Well,
but it's just
vagina,
like,
sounds like a medical term, actually.
Yeah.
And in reality, the vagina is actually, and please forgive me any sex educators out there, but it's almost more the tube as opposed to the vulva, where there's many different parts that make up our whole quote-unquote down there, which in terms of yoni, it's a...
Yoni means vagina. It's just, it's a Sanskrit term. That's, you know, Sanskrit's such a sacred language.
Yes.
So there's a vibration in it as well. So when, you know, you make love to someone, or, you know, there's so much energy involved. And if you're operating from a level of just getting off, it's going to come off as getting off.
Yeah.
So it will kick up any kind of wounding that a girl or a guy may have. And what can show up for a girl is that they become more needy, right? Because it's going to kick up that need to be loved and accepted if it kicked up some sort of wounding, right? And then they may try to go after the guy a little bit more and chase him. And then the guy's going to be like, no, I don't want this. So he'll run away, kind of thing. And that happens a lot for a lot of women. But when you're mindful and you're creating these healthy boundaries and communication, then the sex is operated on a whole nother level. There's a connection.
Mm-hmm. Now, and connection is really, really key. That said, though, sometimes there is the lovely pheromones that just kind of kick up, which I'm going to reiterate, just because you have an amazing orgasm with somebody does not necessarily mean that you will have a amazing relationship necessarily.
Yep.
It sometimes is genital friction, but it also may mean on a biological level that you're attracted to them because you would have a really amazing, genetically great child with them.
Yeah.
And that's what the connection is. So bearing that in mind, that there is more to it just than genital friction, which is why it's really important to do the clearing, etc. And there's different ways to do the clearing as well. There's one of the things that we talked about in our pre-show chat, yoni or lingam massage, which there are some great people that you can go to classes with to find out how to do that. Mm-hmm. Davy Ward in town does some really great work. Tanya Diamond, who I'll have on the show mm-hmm. next week, does some amazing stuff. I believe Chiron is still doing some work as well at The Art of Loving, so he does workshops once in a while there. And I'm sure there's other people in town that do that kind of work as well in terms of actually teaching the physicality of it. But there's other ways in terms of being able to do the ancestral clearing, etc.
Yeah, there's also Jacques Drouin, who
Davy
works with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they used to teach the five elements, Tibetan Tantra, and also Jeffrey Armstrong. He's a Vedic philosopher, and I've went to him. You don't learn the lingam massage and stuff, but it's more of, I call it white Tantra, of what you learn through that and the philosophy of Tantra and whatnot, through the Vedic path, and really understanding what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember learning it from Jeffrey Armstrong at first, and it just allowed me to really look at it from a totally different angle, because I was trying to understand it. And Jeffrey has had so much experience in the past with Tantra, and really understanding, you know, through his own experiences, and I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met Davy Ward and Jacques, and I was like, perfect. I really want to learn how to put things in practicality, but in a way that's so respectful and that is very grounding for me. And there is something that I really enjoyed with Davy Ward and Jacques that really anchored in a lot of things for me and put things in practicality and really understood things on a deeper level. So they're definitely amazing people to learn from.
And I've had them on the show before.
Yeah.
To the point I actually forgot to put any commercial breaks.
Yeah, I know. Busy listening to them. When I see Davy Ward, I'm like, oh, you know, it's just like, it's just, she's on fire. You know what I mean? So, and I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm. In terms of Tantra, I know we can probably go back to Davy about this. We've talked around it. But for somebody who's maybe listening and has no clue what Tantra is, in 100 words or less, how would you describe it? Because some people think of it as gratifying, crazy sex. And I know next week I'll be having Tanya Diamond on, which I'll be having a little bit of a conversation about this as well, because she's a Tantra teacher from Seattle. And I remember taking her workshop when I was doing Juice Box Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wild, where I was terrified of taking a workshop because I was afraid that people would be having sex everywhere, quite frankly. I thought it was everything that it wasn't. It was really amazing, absolutely amazing, and I learned a lot. She made me take away my notebook and pen because I was there to record everything, and actually made me be and just do, which was quite awesome.
Yeah, there's many, many, many meanings of Tantra, and I think that's what confuses people.
Mm-hmm.
But I always tell people, like, you know, for those that have been learning to connect to their own intuition and their own senses, what it really means to them. So, you know, for me, Tantra is just a way of being, of really connecting to your truth, and engaging with others with truth and presence, and it's healing at the same time. So when it comes to connecting, you know, let's just say I'm hugging you, that's Tantra because we're connecting.
Mm-hmm.
When we were, you know, we went to East as East and we had a bite to eat, there's this foreplay of us, you know, just having these conversations, you know, and being playful and fun and connecting.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's Tantra because there's this connection.
Yes.
you know, or if I'm really engaged with someone and we are connected, there's this healing that takes place. So it's like weaving light, color and energy and form. To me, that's what Tantra is. There's this elevation in consciousness, and it's very healing. It's extremely healing. So that's how I see Tantra through my perceptions, through my eyes. But everyone has a different meaning to Tantra. But basically, in a nutshell, that's what it really is. Sex is, I like to say, it's a byproduct. And what people have misconcepted as being like sex is equal is just Tantra, but that's not what Tantra is all about. It's way more than that. And that's when I was telling you about Jeffrey Armstrong, is that we didn't even really talk about sex at all. I had to write poetry, and I was like, damn it, I'm like, I can't write poetry at all, you know. And I had to write a poem, and like, you know, and what it really taught me to do was go into my own creative nature, which still related to the yoni, because the yoni is all about creativity, right? That second chakra. So I started to really understand that the deeper aspect of Tantra and the meaning of it, and to me it's a whole lot deeper. And for me personally, I cannot connect or even engage in more of that intimate activity unless I'm feeling a connection. Doesn't matter how good looking a person is, if there's not a connection in this level of consciousness of where they're at and their vibration, it's not going to work for me. And that's where my boundaries come in as well, because if I choose to engage in something that's of a lower vibration, it's going to bring my energy down. Still healing, but it'll bring up a crisis for sure.
So how does one clear ancestral programming? So obviously there's the yoni or lingam massage that people can do, but there's other ways that they can do it, and part of that is some of the work that you work with, with people.
I do a lot of intuitive work. So I do readings through the Akashic Records, which is the record of your soul. And most of the times when I just do my intuitive coaching and readings on people, it automatically, like, we actually go into the ancestral programming, and I show them how it relates to everything else in their life, and how they're showing up in their business, how they're showing up in just friendships, you know, and just in general. And then I bring it back to the bedroom, of how it shows up there for them, and how things can get really, you know, how things can get kicked up for them. So what we do is we work on a very deep level, so subconsciously, and then it helps to remove that pattern. And then they bring in a new belief system that does serve them to replace any of those subconscious embedded patterning and blocks and stuff. And so their whole perception changes, you know. And for me, I like to go deep. I like to go and getting to the root of what that block's about. And it is very tantric, you know. It's like, let's go in, let's clear. So with the program that I have coming up, it really is going into the deep-seated woundings that people have held with inside of themselves, and which blocks their creative flow, which blocks their connection with others and themselves.
So over 5 weeks, so if I'm taking your program for the first time, what kind of stuff can I prep? Like, should I be clearing the rest of my day afterwards? Like, am I going to be sobbing or anything?
And there depends on each person.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it depends on each individual, because every soul has a different way of how they're choosing to clear. The calls are an hour, they're twice a week, and they're at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so it's perfect, you know, after work. And they are recorded, so if you're not able to make it, you'll still receive the energies from the call and replay to catch up on on everything. And basically, I tell people this, how you choose to show up is how you choose to have your own clearing. Mm. So I tell people to make sure that they're in a sacred, uninterrupted space and that they set an intention on what it is that they want to clear. You might feel some emotion coming up prior to the call because it's bringing stuff up. Like once you commit to a program, you know, you're already getting worked on some level. It's like we're having a tea party in the etheric realm and I'm like, okay, we're gonna get rid of this, you're gonna do this, and da 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 da. And then by the time we meet on the physical, like on the call, you've already cleared an aspect of it, but now you're listening to what you've cleared and you're clearing more of it. You're having this awareness. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's probably going to be some sobbing for some. There's probably going to be some major, obviously there's going to be some major ahas, like, oh my goodness, I did not see that. Mm. So the main purpose is actually bringing people back to their truth. And when you connect back to your truth, you have this higher level of awareness and connection to where you need to focus your time and energy.
So when you say truth, is that clearing away all the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves when nobody else is around and what we believe to be true, even though that may not be what's actually really the root of the truth?
Yep.
Okay.
And also what distracts us from being in our truth. So when we're not in our truth, we can really distract in watching a lot of porn. We can really distract and watching a lot of TV. We can really distract and playing lots of video games. We can distract and eating lots of food, like lots of sugar. There's so many distractions. There's so many addictions.
We can distract by dating the same person over and over again. What wondering what the heck is going on.
And that's the biggest thing too. I'm glad you brought that up because I tell women and men is that, you know, if you find that you're repeating a cycle over and over again, it's such a gifting opportunity for you to look at what that pattern is all about and what that cycle's all about. Like, write it down, what keeps repeating itself, and ask the universe to support you and finding what the root block is that keeps you in the cycle, because it's acting as a security blanket. There's something inside of you where you're distracting yourself from being in that truth, and instead it's engaging in these patterns that are keeping you small, but yet it's your comfort zone. You know what I mean? Hmm.
I do know what you mean.
I think we've all been there.
Yes, we have. In terms of the boundaries as well, so starting with that, because you need to realize, you need to be able to clear, you need to be able to recognize, being able to set and establish boundaries, how is it possible to set those boundaries and be able to still let people in?
Well, there's a difference between barrier and boundaries. Mm. So here's the thing. If you're not grounded and present within yourself, you can be out of your body a lot. So if you bump into things a lot, you feel really scattered, or you're always in your head, it means you're not fully grounded and having full awareness of just your own senses, your body even, and being present. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then when you are outside of your body, you can also create, I call it a barrier. So I'm going to give you a good example. Let's just say there's a girl named Molly. I tend to like use names, okay? I remember I used something last time and that just went really well. Long John, right? Another
Very
story.
Appropriate for sexy in Van City. Yeah.
But Molly, it's funny because Molly's like a drug, ecstasy actually. They call it Molly, MDMA. But that's... Let's just say, which is funny, I brought up Molly. So let's just say Molly was sexually abused as a child. And so Molly has, you know, become an adult. And, you know, Molly was abused in front of, you know, when she was a child, she was abused in front of her mom. So her father would always abuse her. So then she has a trust issue with her mom because she doesn't feel protected. So Molly is now an adult. She's a businesswoman, and she's attending a networking event, but yet she still hasn't fully healed this whole past stuff with regards to being sexually, you know, abused by her father and then her mom watching. So she's got some trust issues with women. So she shows up at a networking event, and what she's done is created a barrier, meaning that she's blocked herself from really connecting with other women. So she may be put offish, you know, or I want to say standoffish to other women, or just not really engage in conversations. She might just eat by herself or stay for 5 minutes and leave. Mm. So I call that a barrier because there's a lack of trust of allowing people in.
Hmm.
So it's like literally a brick wall. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you're blocking your receiving abilities. You're blocking opportunities because you're showing up in your wounding. You're not showing up in your power.
Yes.
When you show up in your power and you are grounded in your body and you've healed whatever it is that's preventing you from grounding you in your body, because that's where a lot of trauma comes from.
Yeah.
When people are afraid to ground in their body and to be fully present, there's something there for them that's preventing them from being that because they're scared of something. Mm. Okay. And a lot of it's childhood stuff. And it could be as simple as just witnessing something that creates such a deep trauma. So that's why when I do the readings, we go really deep. And of course, in this program, you're going to go deep in discovering what that's all about. So a boundary is different because you're grounded, you're present. And I like to say you've got 360 view of everything around you. You do not have a wall up.
Hmm.
And you're open, but yet because you're empowered, and you've stepped into your power, you get free will. You get to choose what it is of who you want to connect with, who you want in your energy field. So if I'm showing up at a networking event, so let's just say Molly healed all that stuff, and now Molly is showing up in her power. She then looks around and she just knows because she's tuned in. She's tapping into her senses. She's in her sensuality.
Mm-hmm.
She's tuned in. She hasn't isolated from everyone, but she knows who she needs to connect with. And she's like, I need to connect with that woman over there, Caroline. I'm going to walk over to her. And boom, there's a connection. She just knows. So she's still discerning with who she's choosing to connect with because it's her precious time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So her energy is not just full, wide open, blown open, and just, I'm just going to take everyone in and, you know, big love or whatever it is. You know, if you love yourself enough, you love yourself enough to honor your time and energy, your body, and your own sacred time and who you choose to spend that energy and time with, right? So,
and I can see that would be valuable in terms of doing clearings, especially for emotional vampires that might possibly be in yes. lifetime. And at the same time, is it sometimes normal for people to go really extreme where they shut everybody out for a while until they learn what's the difference between a barrier and a boundary? Because it takes longer for some things.
No, because they're in it. You know, like, especially during a program, it'll come up because it needs to clear.
Yes.
But what will happen is that if they isolate themselves, I actually go into asking what that's all about, and we go in and heal that so they're not having to disconnect, because that's a safety thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they believe they have to isolate, then they believe like the world is not a safe place, and you know, connecting with other men or women is not safe and whatnot. And we don't want to create those misconceptions either.
Yeah.
So that's where the discernment comes in as well. So not only are you creating healthy boundaries, but also discernment.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You've kept me distracted from commercial breaks, and I realized it's almost quarter two, so I should probably put on in a break or so.
I'll sing you Kumbaya.
Oh, I love the Kumbaya.
There's a story behind that.
Yes, you have to listen to the podcast when I've had the lovely Belgie Riot on the show before.
I serenaded her.
You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Canadians are being bought and sold. We can no longer ignore this reality. Each of the 27 million human trafficking victims around the globe has a unique story. 80% of victims are women, 50% are children. This is not only a global injustice, but a local reality. It is happening right now in my community. We are asking you to take action today. Visit endexploitation.com. Get informed and take action. British anti-slavery leader William Wilberforce once said, "Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. Only question now is what will you do?" Join us and help eliminate human slavery in Canada.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, any time I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, yes, it is Caroline. I just don't sound quite the same because I'm doing my Demi Moore impersonation today because I am getting over being sick. But if you've been listening or you haven't been listening and you're just tuning in now, I've got the sexy Baljeet Riot on the show. And we've been talking about sex and sensuality and sex and sensuality healing, which I almost feel like breaking out into some Marvin Gaye, but it's not quite right for the show.
I can do a dance for you that I also learned from Davy Ward. She'd be so proud of me.
Oh, I think she would be. We need to get get some video going in here, which would be pretty awesome. That'd be really, really cool. Yeah. So before the break, we were talking about boundaries and the difference between barriers and boundaries. And we touched on emotional vampires. And one of the things we touched on in our off-show chat during the break, which, gosh, guys, don't you wish that you could hear or see video in this room and hear all those conversations, the offside stuff that is not onside, which we are bringing it on the air right now, so you'll get a chance to listen to it. And we're going to be talking about sexual vampires.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of the biggest things that's going to be it's a big healing tool thing that I'm bringing in about healing about sexual vampires, part of the program. And sexual vampirism is when someone is taking your energy sexually, and doesn't need to be necessarily through physical sexual penetration. It can be just done, you know, emotionally. If you're engaging with them on an emotional level, they may not even realize that they're literally taking energy from you. And how you recognize that is that after you've engaged with them, you start to feel really tired or just drained or downed. You know you have not created some sort of boundary with the person. And if they're making you feel guilty for not having sex with them or engaging with them and not picking up the phone right away and whatnot, it's draining and it's very exhausting. So there's, you know, I loosely say vampirism, but I say it in a way where, you know, it kind of feels like Dracula sucking your blood, but really sucking your energy. And
so we're not talking true blood. We're kind of sexified vampirism or Twilight. We're talking the heavy stuff where, and so you're telling me that there is an answer besides run. Yeah. Did you read that word run?
That's so funny. I'm in the process of writing an article because I'm writing about the different kind of sexual leakage, and relationship leakages that people experience. And the thing about, you know, I call it tantric vampirism, where someone can use their own psychic intuitive abilities to take energy through practicing tantra and whatnot, than actually respecting other people's boundaries and whatnot. So it can, I've experienced a lot of things that I've witnessed where boundaries have been crossed. And so it allowed me to really go in, you know, and obviously it came to me because I knew I needed to teach it and heal from it myself, but also to teach it of the variety, like the various ways of where you're leaking your energy and how that can show up in your business, how it can show up in just regular relationships, so not only in the bedroom. And, you know, you can be just like a girl-to-girl friendship relationship, and it can turn vampiric if you're always the rescuer. And you're always having to rescue the victim, but the victim never shifts, and it becomes very draining on both ends. So by learning to be empowered, you're learning to step out of, you know, kind of like a washing machine where you're being involved in other people's wounding. And I say, you know, if another person's vomiting, you don't need to vomit with them. I remember my former mentor used to always say that, and I was like, oh, yeah, you don't need to vomit with them. And, you know, how would you be of high service to them? Well, you wouldn't vomit with them. You would actually be empowered and, you know, either call them out on their stuff lovingly and really know what feels right for you. And when you take a step back, you're pulling away from engaging in that dynamic. And you will get tested, because once someone feels you pulling back, they start freaking out because they're so used to feeding off of you, and they're like literally like, hey, where are you? What's going on? Give me that energy, that candy.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a drowning non-swimmer. So if we're talking as emotion as a sea of water,
oh, it's emotionally exhausting,
where it's like, okay, what they teach you in lifeguarding 101.
Yeah,
okay, exactly. Give them an oar, give them a towel, whatever you do, don't get in unless you're conking them out, and then you can actually, you know, do elementary backstroke and hold their head so you can control them so they don't pull you down and suck you down like a drowning non-swimmer.
Yeah.
Which sometimes in our best intentions to help someone, and I've been there, done that a million and one times, and who knows, maybe that's why I get sick so often, because I work with a lot of people. And
well, you do, right? Yeah. So you have to be mindful to not engage in their wounding, because they've gotten themselves there for a reason. So I look at people, you know, if we treat them like victims, they'll always be a victim.
Yes.
If we treat them like empowered beings, they will
shift. Yes.
But it takes, you know, when you're being a rescuer, you're still being a victim in a big way, because it's like your need to be loved and accepted, or whatever wounding that you have to have to rescue. And that's where you can experience burnout.
Very much so.
I see. Saw something click for you, like, ding. Huh.
Yeah, I actually believe I can't remember if it's psychiatric or psychology, and I'm stumbling over that word, so I don't know if it's a Freudian slip, but I believe it's called compassion burnout, especially for people who are working in social work. And I see it a lot with a lot of the people I work with in the downtown east side, both as cohorts from different organizations, etc.
Yeah, one thing I learned from my former mentor was compassionate detachment. So a lot of my friends say, you have a crop load of compassion. Like, I don't know how you deal with it. And I ask myself at the same time, like, I have come across the weirdest stuff, like I was just sharing with you, with emails, you know, just from promoting sex and sensuality, I've had, you know, like at least three men send me these weird emails, but they were testing me, and it was, I chose to not engage in it. I have compassion for their wounding, but I also know that they were projecting.
And I guess that's the question I was going to ask you next, is when a woman embraces her sense of sensuality or sexuality, both, and starts to own her own power, how, because it really does bring people out of the woodwork. And just where sometimes it's almost trying to objectify, because as a society, I think perhaps not, and I'm not just going to blame the porn industry, but just in general, we tend to like to put people in boxes as a society globally. How do we start shifting that on a conscious level?
Can you go deeper on that?
Yes. In terms of how can we start shifting so we can encourage people not to put people in boxes as we start to shift ourselves and inspire other people to own their own sense of sensuality and sexuality, create healthy boundaries.
Honestly, it's dealing with your own crap.
Okay.
It really is. People have been looking out externally so much and looking at other people's problems. And so projecting their own opinions and other people's problems, and I've got a beef with that. So I really feel and I know that each individual has a journey and a purpose for themselves. So the more you get connected to your own truth, because my truth might be different from your truth.
Because we're both unique and we have our own gifts that we're supposed to bestow.
When you accept that, when you realize that, there's compassion within that. There's no judgment or this, there's more connection, I want to say. And so it brings a healing. It brings this awareness, you know. And, you know, as far as the porn industry and media, they're always going to do what they're doing because that's how they're making money.
Yes.
But to me, truth and exposure, it comes through so strong, and it only lasts us for so long as we're raising our vibration. Things that are not aligned just disintegrates.
And it's important to continue doing the work. So not when you find your truth, realizing
that. Oh, yeah,
that
and then way. Stop. I was telling my girlfriend today, Annette, actually, Annette made this, she's one of my greatest best friends.
And she's been on the show with you before.
Yeah, she's been on the show, too. Hi, Annette. So she's probably listening, like, hey. I just saw her today, and she was just telling me, she's like, I hate it when, you know, people who've been taking, you know, leadership courses and everything, but yet they're not walking their talk, and they're not, you know, they're so operating from their wounding, but yet they're psychologists, and they've learned all this stuff, and they preach it to others, but they're not dealing with their own stuff. They're not showing up that way. It's so important, you know, you're always going to be evolving. That's why we're here in play school. Like, we're always going to be evolving.
I 100%. I was going to say change is constant. It really is the only thing that we can count on in this world.
Yeah.
And just realizing the truth isn't going to always stay the same. It's going to evolve with you as you continue to evolve as a human being.
I learn something almost every day. Like, I learn something new as I keep allowing myself to open up more and more and more. I always learn something new that's like an additional thing to my treasure box.
I like the fact that you use the word treasure box. Yeah. That has a multitude of...
Uni box.
A uni box.
Thank you.
And in case you're wondering, if you're not
it's
picking the up
the
audio.
It's music, man.
Yes,
my
it
favorite.
Is. Hans
yes.
von Knaus.
Nice
he's just
sweater.
Walked in the house. Thank who you. Looks very sexy.
Thank you. I'm sweet and spicy.
You are spicy.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm liking this flirting.
You're lucky. Yeah, you're lucky you're married.
No, you're lucky.
Oh, I'm lucky that you're married?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know what
yeah,
I'm
I got
about?
It. Sorry, it just clued in.
We so need a video camera on this place.
No, that's the radio.
It keeps people a mystery, you know?
It does.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not getting
into it.
Sorry, guys.
I'm hot all of a sudden.
There we go. That's a bit better.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Let me serenade you, Hans.
You are so... I didn't deserve it, you know, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
Play me some ambient.
She keeps saying this. I hardly do any ambient.
Well, he used to do ambient music.
You should have listened to my show. That's why she's saying ambient. But that's okay. It doesn't matter really. We'll just nobody listens to her what she says about me. So it's
okay. We're keeping it in sexy and fancy.
Yes, we are. And on that note, Hans von Claus is going to be up very soon. But Beljute, for people who want to sign up for the 5 weeks for sex and sensuality healing for starting on May 29th, how can they find out more about you if they go to lotusdestiny.com?
Yeah, just go to lotusdestiny.com, and on the front page, just on the top, there's like these panels that go by. You'll know what I mean once you get there. But just
I love the waving hand.
As I was expressing myself. That was very sensuous, right?
It was very, very
did I look like a Muppet? Sometimes I do.
No, you look more human than just a Muppet, so it's okay.
Sometimes I do things and I try to be sensuous, but I look like a Muppet.
It's all right. It gives you permission to play.
I'm sure I'm going to get lots of signups for now. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm signing up for this. So if you go to lotusdestiny.com, just at the front, look for sex and sensuality healing intensive. And I promise you I will not be a Muppet unless you would like that. And all the information is there for you to check it out.
And thank you, Beljute, for being on the show. And I actually want to wrap the show with asking if you'll serenade me singing Kumbaya before we bring
serious?
It to... Yes,
only
I would love that.
Hans sings it with me.
Hans, will you sing Kumbaya?
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
Can't do it.
Okay, if you play ambient music, then I can sing it like with ambient. Is it ambient electronica or just like ambient?
Ambient. Unlike this light here.
Like the light sound where it's like...
He likes no light on. He likes the lights off and nice and dim.
That reminds me of the Chinese restaurant here.
The Chinese restaurant.
We're talking about CITR.
We are so off topic.
We are very off topic. But so Hans is going to be up next with Misery Hour.
Can find this light. Would you like to have a sex in this light or the light that I'm
Well, in this light, it would show off everything. Yes, sex is sex, and it is a beautiful thing when it's connected. And on that note, we are going to bring it back.
Yay!
To Kumbaya, and you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And we will be back next week. I'll have the lovely Tanya Diamond on, and I've been lucky to have the wonderful Beljute Riot on tonight. And go check her out at lotusdestiny.com, and she's going to be serenading us as we sign off.
I'm going to play something from
It's okay. Have a great night, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. My lord.